you were a preacher of the gospel and you were told that you could have only one chapter in the Bible to use as a text, which chapter would you select? I've thought about that, and I think that if I were dealing especially with the work of the church and its relationship to Christ and the relationship of its members, I would definitely select Ephesians chapter 4. First part of the chapter deals with the unity that there needs to be in the work of God. Later on in the chapter, there are some warnings about how we can go away from God and not have the kind of understanding we ought to have, and our hearts become hardened. The latter part of the chapter deals with a lot of daily activities and our relationships with work and forgiveness and anger and the control of the tongue and so many things that have to do with daily living. Just so much involved. This morning, I want you to concentrate with me on verses 11 through 16 of Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Most of you will remember that during the last several weeks, there have been lessons dealing with the work of the elders and the work of deacons. And we could even use this passage as a text for that, particularly verse 11 talks about the pastors, same as the elders, not the preachers, but the elders when talking about the pastors. And as we look at the different areas of work, we certainly see the idea of the deacons involved in this passage. I've often said and firmly believe that perhaps the golden text of the Bible for preachers is verse 15, speaking the truth in love. It's easy for some to speak the truth and be sound, but not have very much love, and it seems there are those who have the emotion of love who do not stick to the truth. And so the work of the preacher is especially emphasized in verse 15. This morning I want us to concentrate on verse 16. We've announced the subject, every joint in place. And I submit to you folks that what we're talking about this morning is the real key to the growth of this congregation. Certainly, we are concerned about having good elders, and we're thankful for our elders. We're concerned that the gospel be preached in love. And I think I can assure you, knowing the others who preach and knowing my heart, that that's our desire, to preach the truth and to wrap it up in love to the best of our ability. And it's very important for us to have deacons that function and teachers that function. But when all is said and done, it comes right down to the joints in the body of Jesus Christ. And unless and until every joint is in place, we will never accomplish what we are capable of accomplishing in the Lord's kingdom. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. I want you to notice that the word every is used twice in this verse. It's used before the word joint and it's used before the word part. Every joint supplieth and according to the measure of every part. Every joint and every part must be involved in the body. There is another passage that especially talks about the body of Christ at length, found in 1 Corinthians 12. And that passage also emphasizes how important each part is and how every part needs to fit into the body. Many of you are aware that during this past week, one of our secretaries, Helen Garofalo, broke an ankle, one bone in the ankle. According to Don Harrison, who teaches anatomy, there are 206 bones in the human adult body. As far as I'm able to determine, Helen had 205 functioning, but she was not at work Thursday or Friday. Just had one. Matthew Goins, one of our teenagers in the audience this morning, came in on crutches. He has a cast on his leg. The vast majority of his bones and joints are functioning, but he's got one that's not. And therefore, some extra effort has to be put forth for him to even come to the services. Sister Emily Hufford is unable to be up except about 30 minutes at a time. She is shut in bed most of the time because three vertebrae are cracked. Just three out of the entire number of bones in the body. But look how one joint or one bone or one part of the body can affect the entire body when it's not functioning. Most of us have had the experience of having some part of the body that is not functioning at the right time. And only when we have every part and every joint in the proper place do we see the physical body really function as it should. Notice also that he says the whole body is to be fitly joined together. In a sense, that's what we've just been saying in these last few statements. The whole body, not just a part of it. Recently, some of us were talking, and one asked what the explanation is for the fact that as far as we're able to determine, in every congregation of the church, there's a certain percentage of the members who never attend Bible study. There's a certain percentage of the members who never attend any more than one service during the week. And it seems wherever you go, wherever it is in the country, that it's about the same, may vary a little bit, but about the same. And I frankly admit I don't have the explanation to that. But I think we realize immediately that if 30 or 40 or 50% of the members of my body were not present and not functioning, that I'd have a problem. And if you went to work in the morning and 30, 40% of the members who are a part of that team were not present, there would be a problem. He says the answer is when the whole body, which is said to be one body in Christ, Romans 12, 4 and 5, is knit together and tied together, fitly joined together and compacted. Joined together and compacted. That's when the end result takes place that's described in this verse. That means that each joint needs to be in the body and needs to be functioning in the body. I do not have an appendix in my body functioning. I have not had since 1957. And I know I don't because I saw mine outside of my body just after it had been taken out. I used to think that the appendix was not important, but we're beginning to think now that it does have some functions that we may have overlooked. But I don't have one in my body. It's not in there, and it's never going to function again. When I was growing up as a youngster, I was on the farm, and we, I suppose, didn't know that a dentist existed at that time. We just simply went with a bad tooth until it got to hurting so badly that we went to the country doctor, and he yanked it out. When I graduated from high school, I had 7 permanent teeth gone. And you know how much I need my teeth. Well, I've done something about that to fill in those places since then. I've got a mouth that is filled with artificial teeth, basically, and I've learned how to use them fairly well. But those seven teeth will never function in my body again because they were taken out and they cannot be used. They're not in the body. It's got to be the whole body fitly joined together and compacted with us in the body and functioning in the body. We will never attain the level of success that is possible until we can get the whole body functioning and every joint in that body functioning. I like the word supply that is used here. Every joint supplieth. Another way of translating that would be that every joint is working properly. I have some friends who have suffered strokes to the extent that one arm hangs down to the side of the body and cannot lift itself. And maybe one foot doesn't function in the right way. And yet the person has learned to use that foot and drag it to be able to walk, and yet walks with that one hand down to the side of the body and it never moves. It cannot raise itself because it has quit functioning. It has lost its ability to function. I know of folks whose joints have lost their ability to function. And some of us have had the experience of having what's called a frozen joint, where something will happen and for a while it just freezes up and you can't move it. It doesn't supply, it doesn't function. We understand that in the physical body, we understand that that's a problem. But he's talking about the spiritual body here, and he says that every joint needs to supply. There's something that my wrist does that's different from my elbow, and both of those are different from my shoulder. In fact, different joints work in different ways for different purposes. You let one of them be out of place, and it can affect the entire body. One definition of this concept that is given here of the joint supplying is that it operates on its own without force. I like that definition. And I think I understand it when I'm thinking about my own physical body. If I mash my finger, I don't have to wait for that finger to call into the office and say it needs some help. And then the office call my other hand and say go to its aid, or to call my mouth and tell it to open in case it's needed. When I mash my finger, almost before you can blink your eye, I've got it in my mouth for two reasons: to make it feel better and to help me be sure I don't say something I shouldn't. But I don't have to send out an alarm. My body is put together in such a way that when it's functioning properly, every member of that body is functioning without being forced. And you know, I just haven't thought for the last week to tell my heart to beat. It's been doing it on its own. I'll tell you something. If the human body was to be treated the way we treat the Lord's work, to where we always have to call somebody and push somebody or get them to move to do something, we'd all be dead almost immediately. Every joint supplies. What does it do? It operates on its own without being forced, without having to be forced. And I think that is significant in the work of the church. When everyone does his part and goes ahead and does it to the best of his ability and moves without having to be pushed, the work of the church is going to grow. And especially without there having to be any force or any begging. Farmer was asked how much milk his cow gave, and he said, if you can hem her in a corner and keep her from kicking, you can take 8 quarts. She don't give any. And in too many instances, we've had to hem our members in a corner and keep them from kicking in order to take from them their abilities to put to use in the Lord's kingdom, and that won't work. It's got to be operating on its own without any force. And can you imagine what will happen when that takes place and every member functions in that way? It's also interesting here in this verse that he says that every member, every joint is to function according to its own ability, according to the measure of every part, and that's used to suggest according to the ability of that specific part. There are some things that certain parts of the body cannot do, and they must depend upon other parts of the body to do that function so that the body can function as a whole. We need that understanding in the work of the church. We are different in our talents, different gifts, Romans 12:6. Different gifts, diversities of operations and administrations, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. Different offices, he says, in the same body, Romans 12, 4 through 5. One body, but different offices, different works, different responsibilities. And maybe even different levels of talents in these different areas of responsibilities and opportunities. 5-talent man, 2-talent man, 1-talent man. The 2-talent man received exactly the reward that the 5-talent man received, and I'm persuaded the 1-talent man would have also had he used that 1 talent to gain 1 talent. Because you see, as indicated in 2 Corinthians 8:12, if there's a willing mind on the part of each of us, and there's the really beginning point, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, all God wants of me is for me to use my abilities, whatever they are and whatever limitations are there. And he wants the same thing of you. Every joint in place. And every joint doing its best. When the tabernacle needed to be built, all the people began to come. All the people began to come with free offerings. And they gave so much that they had to ask them to stop. When there was a need in the early church of benevolent work, especially just after the conversion of the 3,000 on Pentecost, the people began to go and use what they had and even sell what they had and bring it to be used. And it was only with every joint functioning that they were able to accomplish that at that time. Every joint functioning in its own measure. There's where the bottom line of the growth of the church rests. Every joint supplying, according to the working of the measure of every part, the end result then is that we make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, and that's the goal we have. More numbers, because we're talking about more souls. And a better relationship and peace and happiness and mutual encouragement within the body of Jesus Christ. Look at the latter part of that verse. That's the end result when we have every joint in its proper place. Just think about how that can apply even in our own work. When you look at our giving, we are averaging much above our budget. But try to imagine what our giving would be if every member of this congregation gave liberally. During the last 15 months, we have given about $150,000 toward our new building program. That's an average of $10,000 a month. That's very outstanding compared to what I have seen done in many places, very outstanding. But what would happen, and can you imagine what would happen if the other 2/3 of the families of this congregation were involved in this? Can you imagine what would happen if every joint of this body of Christ worked to bring somebody to Christ? During this year, just taught one person, if every joint did that, if every member of the body was present and active in our services and in our work, what would happen to our work in this congregation? Evangelism, mission work, benevolent work. We have so many involved in benevolent work. But what would happen if every last one of us began to look for ways to do things in the community and to reach out to help others and to be ready to serve when there is a need. The bottom line of the growth of the church is having every joint in its proper place. And having every joint in its proper place means in the body, connected to the body, fitly joined together in the body, and working according to the measure or according to the ability of that joint. I'm not for sure that there are many congregations with more talent and ability than this one. We have so many people who are capable of doing so many things. And it's only when we are able to harness that power and put all those talents to work that we will accomplish what we are capable of accomplishing. I believe we're going fast in that direction. I believe even the events of today and the events that we've been talking about and leading up to today with the appointment of new elders and deacons and the attempt to get every area of our work in the proper joint and that joint then moving and tying other joints to it to where every one of us is working in every reasonable way that he can. This is what it's about. And when we do that, we will have the end result, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The whole body, that's all of us, fitly joined together, that's unity and cooperation, in which every joint, that's each one of us, every joint supplieth, that means produce without force, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, according to his own ability, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's a simple plan, it's God's plan, and it'll work. It works with the physical body, it'll work with the spiritual body. Question is this morning, are you a joint in that body? Have you become a part of that body? And if you are a joint in that body, have you quit functioning? Have you become frozen and you need a little thawing? Or you become inactive and you need a little exercise to work that activity back into the joint so that it'll work properly? Maybe in some instances this needs to be taken care of publicly. If the neglect of that joint has been such that it has harmed the body and others are aware of it. Every joint in proper place. If you're not, if you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to be restored, become more active as a joint in his body, come to him as together we stand and sing.
Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss?